Good morning, everyone, and we are here with our science of triangles. This is our 74th meeting for that presentation, and we're going to be getting into some familiar triangles quite shortly. I don't think we finish it today, but we'll be working on the ray triangles, is my guess. We're going to do our best to continue broadcasting from YouTube, but we're having a little trouble this week with the broadcast. So if we have to switch over to Zoom for the week, or for as long as it takes to get things straightened out, we will do that. So right now we're hoping that this evening's broadcast on the normal triangles meditation will be on the usual YouTube channel, but if not, we'll do our best to get to you and let you know any kind of change that may be occurring. All right, I just want to welcome you here. Let's see, where are we here? Yes. So, there we are. So to welcome to Anne and Anna and Annette and Brennan, Catherine, Chris, Ishtar, Joe, Karen, Carrie, Mariana, Mariut, Martha, Miro, Natni, Risto, Stephen, Vera, Zenaide, and Anne Veronica. You are the ones that are here so far, plus over here on the staff side, we have Joe and Michael Stacy, and Tuya is over here. So we have a little bit more on Leo per se, which, be alert to what Michael may be putting in the chat box, because these are links that you may need. All right, so here we are. I'm trying to get everything stabilized. Yeah, okay. excuse me. Leo, as we have seen, is, for instance, a most important transmitting agency, a most important, not the necessarily, but a most important transmitting agency in the present world crisis. And this means that rays 1 and 5 are exceedingly active. And why would that be? Well, as you probably know, rays 1 and 5 are transmitted through this particular constellation, and as strange as it may seem, ray 5 is at the present moment, not immediately so, immediately so, but not necessarily so in the immediate future, the strongest area of transmission through Leo. You would think it might be Aquarius, and it will be, but right now it is still Leo, and when we get to that triangle, I'll try to explain why this is the case. Leo is unusual in that it is the fire sign, which represents consciousness. Now we're familiar with this idea. Aries represents the monad, Leo represents soul consciousness, and Sagittarius represents the more personal consciousness. And it doesn't mean that if you have these signs, necessarily you are representing the monad, the soul, or the personality. It much depends on the level of evolution that at which you find yourself. Now, we're not talking about this famous triangle with 18 different locations in it, and which we have reviewed earlier in this discussion. And that may be Aries, Leo, and Capricorn. And also, we're not talking about Leo, Sagittarius, and Aquarius, which we just recently reviewed, talking about the progress from individualization through aspiration to group service. Okay. It means, says the Tibetan, that the sun's influence is potent, both exoterically and esoterically. And, the sun represents many things. It is the star, after all. And while it can represent the limited personality, which is self-glorifying and upon which the eyes of the individual are focused, it can also indicate the causal body. It can indicate the solar angel. It can even indicate the monad. We're at a period in history where people are really, what shall I say, coming to themselves. They are awakening to be distinct individuals and who are more and more integrated and in at first more and more selfish. And this, as the Tibetan tries to explain, carries its own problems with it. So we have to watch the way Leo is prominent today. So much of our difficulty has to do with individuals who are seeking the power that Leo can confer. And when you think about Rome, when you think about the era of the French kings, when you think about I think it's Berlin has this, when you think about Hitler's horoscope and the prominence of Leo therein, you realize that this can be a sign that because of its limited point of view regarding selfhood, can cause a great deal of difficulty. In the worst cases, it causes what we might call megalomania. It was also extremely prominent in the sign of Mussolini. And when it comes to Japan, their flag at the time had to do with the rising sun. So every group was fighting for itself and for its own dominance over others. And the whole series of emperors that we found in Rome in the expressing in the most autocratic manner was a Leo phenomenon. So going on here, the sun's influence is potent, both exoterically and esoterically, because in a way, Leo is ruled by the triple sun. It also veils, shall we say, the sun veils Jupiter in the ordinary sense. DK hints at that. For the esoterically inclined people, it veils Neptune, who are responding at least and somewhat to the heart of the sun. And for the true initiate, the advanced disciple, the sun is veiling Uranus. So the real planets behind the sun are Jupiter, Neptune, and Uranus. And all of them, as you can see, are big, prominent planets. Two of them are synthesizing planets, and one of them is the largest planet in our system. So it means also that the planets which are related to these two rays will be very active, and DK chooses other planets to discuss now. Therefore, that Pluto, ray one, he could have chosen Vulcan, of course, but he chose Pluto because Shambhala is becoming so powerful, Aries, Pluto, Shambhala, and Venus, with its ray 5 Sol, is chosen as the fifth ray planet. There's really no other planet to choose among those he gave for the fifth ray, though in a very high sort of way, Mercury has a prominent, monadic fifth ray, and Mars, orange Mars, is related to the fifth ray as well, maybe sub-monadically. But, you know, those are refinements, and we would have to get into why we think that may be the case. So, anyway, Pluto and Venus are dominant in producing world results. Now, this book was written at a very destructive time, when the destructive part of the first ray was asserting itself. And I think Germany had a lot of Scorpio connected with it. The sole sign of Japan was Scorpio, again, you know, implicating Pluto. And this meant, you know, that war was ready to cover the Earth, which it did, you know, in the second part of the Great War that lasted from 1914 to 1945. As far as Ray 5 goes, the weaponry, the separativeness, hard to think of Venus as involved in separativeness, but thus it is. As a matter of fact, some people have done research on this, find that when wars occur, Venus has a prominent role within it. Maybe it's because the desire nature is so stimulated. So anyway, world results come in now because of Pluto ruling or transmitting the first ray planetarily, and Venus transmitting the fifth ray when it comes to Leo. So many of these wars have to do with a selfish attitude, and Leo can be guaranteed to promote that attitude until sufficient suffering occurs to change. So DK says, I cite this as an instance of the interrelation of planets, constellations, and rays. And yeah, well, that's what we're learning to do, and it does lead to an attitude of, let's call it, pure reason, when we can successfully combine, when considering the great science of relations, when we can successfully combine what DK calls here planets, constellations, and rays. And I kind of try to give an example here that if a sign or constellation is prominent, then the rays passing through the sign or constellation are prominent, ray or rays, and so the ruling planets of those rays, the ray rulers of those rays, are also going to be prominent. We have to determine the strongest signs of the moment. Now, as I say, Leo itself is the strongest constellation transmitting the fifth ray at this moment. And let's just remember about that fifth ray that it rules the law of cleavages, which means that it can be very separative. Sometimes separation is a good thing because it distinguishes the emerging individualized man from his environment, and therefore he can say, I am. And we're in that period right now where we're still celebrating the Leo and Sirius festival. Sirius, too, has a huge monastic fifth ray. But if that goes too far, we know we can even achieve, and we see it, we do see it, a kind of megalomania where a man like Hitler can look at the ruins that he brought about to his country and say, Germany was not worthy of me. You know, it's such a narcissistic position. Okay, so we have to determine the strongest signs at the moment. For then, certain rays, which the signs or constellation transmit, will be strong, and the planets connected with those rays will be strong. So DK has said, I cite all this as an instance of the interrelation of planets, constellations, and rays, a close study, he goes on to say, of the world crisis. Remember, this is written in the well, sort of middle 30s, let's say. A close study of the world crisis will indicate the plausibility of the premise as to the activity of Leo as a major force in the triangle at present responsible for producing the world situation. Now, remember, there is that famous triangle of Leo, Pisces, and Capricorn. And Leo is all about Shambhala from one perspective. And when the Shambhala force is absorbed in a selfish manner, a manner that does not include the energy of love, and that is also possible with Leo, then we begin to have real trouble. Well, we've passed that time now, and there was a kind of a triumph of the allied forces, the forces of light, but not an entire sealing of the door where evil dwells. And we see that now. One of Master DK's students said, and it was a high student, he said, yes, the Allied forces, one, have not succeeded in really completely sealing the door where evil dwells. And we're facing it all over again. And during the next 5 years, there's a nice Leonian period for us. Heights of selfishness, I believe, will be thrown up in the face of the world population to try to present a proper entrance into the true externalization and reappearance process. So anyway, it's Leo. The rays which pass through are 1 and 5. The planets which deliver the rays, in this case, he says Pluto and Venus, although we could involve Vulcan if also. Let's see, if the sign under consideration had been Aries, okay, then the rays which pass through the sign or constellation would have been ray 1 and ray 7, and that we're going to see in just a few minutes. And then the planets which deliver the rays, just so you get the idea of how this is done, would have been Pluto and Uranus. Not all constellations are equally prominent at this time in human history, but at this time in human history, more of the first ray comes through Aries, meant to inaugurate the new age, really, than through any other sign. So, do you have to know these rulerships in order to sort of fathom the triangles that are involved here? And yes, I would say yes. There's just a certain amount of memorization that has to go into this until all of this is second nature to you, just the way we learn our alphabet so we can put words together and sentences and paragraphs. So we need this when it comes to the ray language, constellational sign language, planetary language. We need some basic factors that have to be memorized. And once they are memorized, then it's much easier to proceed in not only the study of astrology, but in the study of what lies behind the science of triangles. Okay. Now he goes on a little bit more here. As I say, he's here the way I have it, he's writing in black. And when I make some commentary at this point, I'm putting it in red. Earlier in this treatise, I gave you, he says, the relation between the rays and the constellations, and stated that each of the seven rays expressed itself through the medium of three constellations, or through a triangle of energies. So basically, you know, you almost have the ray as the dominant factor working through three constellations. It's as if in the center of the triangle, the ray can be found. Now, should one memorize these triangles? Yes, in order to study occultism, as he says, his esoteric astrology book is his most occult book because it deals entirely with the science of energies. So, excuse me, just have a tiny little bit of water here. This relation is the basis of the entire science of triangles and therefore of astrology itself. Now, what a very important idea. This relation of the constellations to the rays which are transmitted through the constellations. Now, you know how that actually happens and the sort of metaphysics of all that, you know, one day we will learn, but it's enough for us to realize the ray and constellational connection. And remember, you can turn to page 621 in your astrology book, and you will notice that constellations are galaxies of stars, and signs of the zodiac are concentrated influences of those galaxies of stars. And by galaxy, he means aggregation. He doesn't necessarily mean a great island universe. They are asterisms. They are groupings of solar logoi who have a particular quality. And we're not talking about anything with billions and trillions of stars in it. That's a whole different level of astrology. And I suspect that even the masters cannot, I suspect they can't really make that practical. They can know something about it, but it's not even relevant. Maybe great beings like a solar logos, for them it becomes practical. All right. So this relation is the basis of the entire science of triangles. What a statement. And therefore of astrology itself. So we certainly want to learn the upcoming relationships that are going to be demonstrated here in just a few minutes. It is also related to the rays, the constellations, their ruling planets, and our Earth in a great synthesis of energies. And that's the marvelous thing about Master DK's astrology. He puts all of this together into a big picture, a big pattern. Remember that he works primarily on the second ray and third rays together. And the second ray could be called the ray of the divine pattern, and or the ray of detailed unity. And in other words, the great patterns in the heavens are revealed and their synthetic meaning. Okay. It relates our solar system to the larger whole and our tiny non-sacred planet to the solar system. He really can put things in proportion, you know. This is a tiny planet, and even though Sirius is really a dwarf star, by comparison, it is so stupendous in its radiation, even compared to our sun, that DK questions us, many of you, he says, might imagine, How can the great Logos of Sirius be at all interested in this tiny little non-sacred planet on which we live? But thus it is. And of course, we have a way here of celebrating that kind of relationship at this time of the Leo Sirius full moon. Maybe I can make a little analogy that as Sirius is to Orion, so our Earth is to Sirius. In other words, loyalty, a following by a tiny entity of a much greater entity. There is a triangle in the belt of Orion which is shockingly potent. Alnilam, Alnitak, and Mintaka. Those are the Arabic names for the three central stars in the belt of Orion. Now, let's try to get a sense of proportion here, because although no astronomer really knows all of these things for certain, the radiation or solar luminosities of Sirius are about 33 times that of our sun, Sol, or Helios. In other words, Sirius is 33 times brighter. Okay, that seems like quite a bit, doesn't it? Until you get into Alnitak, Alnilam, and Mintaka, and you have those stars. Well, I'm not going to bother with the real figures right now, but they have hundreds of thousands of solar luminosities when compared to Sirius. 33 luminosities is a lot. If a star is 33 times brighter than our sun, that really means something. But what if a star is 200,000, 300,000 times brighter than our sun, the way the stars in the belt of Orion are? Then you're dealing with tremendous entities. And Sirius is just like a loyal dog, the dog star following the great hunter Orion. And the Earth, just as the Earth is following Sirius. So you probably get the analogy in terms of the scale of things. Okay. Now, let's see, just a little bit more here. So our solar system is being related to the larger whole in these considerations, and our tiny, sacred, non-sacred planet with microscopic man, as he says, is being related to the solar system. Let me repeat that statement and thus indicate to you some of the some vital facts anent this world of interweaving energies. We stand on the mountaintop and we are the astounded or the astonished disciple, and we see the great passage of the energies, the great interweaving of the energies. The day will come when in Capricorn that does happen. Now, it's not going to be immediate, perhaps, because the third initiation is still far off for many, but that day will come, and the interweaving energies in the heavens above will astonish us, and we will see that, in fact, these relationships are very real, and we're just so grateful that the Tibetan has conveyed these relationships to us, some of them anyway. Okay. The rays pour through and are expressed by and are transmitted through the following constellations. Okay. Now, this is the section of which we will say maybe just a little bit at first. This is it right here. Now, you probably have seen this, you know, many times. Sometimes you're given just two constellations, sometimes three. Sometimes you're given the rulers that continue the rays. So ray one, that's the ray one triangle right there, which he says is the basis not only of esoteric astrology, but all of these triangles being the basis of the science of triangles. I'm sorry. Do you have to memorize these? And I'm just saying it would be advisable. It just depends, friends, on how deeply you want to go into occultism. If you do, then the 12 energies which compose the head center, the major head center in our great logos called the one about whom naught may be said, or called the unknown, or called the zodiac, should be understood. Now, we're not going to understand everything, but we are going to understand some relationships. Now, when it comes to, maybe I'll just do one or two, and then we can, you know, reserve the rest for later. Yeah. Yeah, and then after it's all over, DK will talk about the very interesting fact of why most of Ray 1 comes through Aries, most of Ray 2 through Virgo at this time, and so forth. What we do know, and maybe I can put this here without doing too much harm. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm going to put this in purple. All right. So when it comes to planetary associations, we have Mars, the Sun, and Saturn. These three planets, one with Ray 6, Ray 2, and Ray 3, are rulers through which Ray 1 just continues. So even though Aries has its own number of rays connected with it, rays 1 and 7, let's say, Ray 1 is very prominent. Leo has Ray 1 and 5, and Ray 5 is very prominent, and Capricorn has Ray 3 and 7, and both are prominent. Capricorn rules the third ray for disciples, and more of the seventh ray comes through Capricorn than through any other sign at this time. So we have here rays 1 and, okay, well, I don't want to spill over 1 and 7. And I think in order to do this properly, I'll just use the word R. And then over here, R 1, 5, and then over here, I will use the word R, Ray 3 and 7. Interesting that what he calls the Jewish force comes particularly through Capricorn and through Ray 3 and 7. And interestingly, and because, and with difficulty, what he calls the energy of the Black Lodge, with its will to destroy, comes through ray 1 and ray 5, which are the rays transmitted by Leo. So when these two rays are prominent, we have to be very careful about great isolative tendencies, which at length render a man what he calls to be untouchable. Okay, and what I'm going to do here, we're going to, you know, work on this a little bit as we go along, and try to get these things lined up, and so we can have a complete view when we're done with the consideration. It won't line up completely, but it'll be, you know, it'll be okay. And there we go. Now, Aries is the sign of all initiative. And it has, after the completion of a cycle, ending in Pisces, Aries is the alpha to Pisces Omega. And it thrusts itself into the world of form. We're told, let form again be sought. But we're also told that the monad can come forth, and from the plane of mind where it establishes itself. Now, let's see, what can I show you here? This. Notice the monad here establishing itself in the middle of the egoic lotus, and maybe this particular, there it is, coming from this high point in a red line straight down. This is the monad establishing itself on the higher mental plane. I come forth. Now that I that comes forth is indeed the monad, and it settles itself in the middle of what we call the soul body, and from the plane of mind, the higher mind in this case, it rules the personality as the soul rules the personality. So there's some kind of great forward push in Aries, which makes of it the most prominent sign of the triangle at this time. It's also responsible for confrontation and war, and for sort of an attack on the old situation. Leo, on the other hand, is much more, well, let's just say Aries has a forward-moving attack, and it's ray 7 brings regimented order. Now, there's a problem there, of course, because if we get into totalitarianism and we see people marching like robots, as we did when we looked at the pictures of the forces representing the forces of darkness in the Second World War, they were all mechanized. And you can even see that today when people want to be impressive in their armed services. They turn themselves into machines and imitate mechanization. This whole thing Master Moria definitely disapproves of, and he says it's just a key to the monotony of the Black Lodge. So although Ray 7 is there to anchor spirit in matter, it's Ray 1 that is most prominent at this time. And humanity really needs this. Why? Because it's pressing itself forward into the beginning of an entirely new energy that we call the Aquarian dispensation. It is the age of Aquarius, but Aries gives the impulse, as DK tells us. Now, with Leo, the point does not move so much. We are more stabilized, and the idea of the point within the circle, whose symbol is the sun, or that is the sun symbol, is more characteristic than that great push forward. Now, it is true that in Aries, the sun is exalted, and what that really means is the monad is exalted, the spirit is exalted, and man comes in touch with that aspect of himself which is pure being. That's not easy, and we do try to study the methods of doing that in this kind of little course we're doing together called Identify as Being. So Leo takes up a centralized position and rules a great circular spherical domain, and its influence extends to the far edges of that domain. You'd be amazed at some of the great dictators and rulers of the past have the Aries-Leo combination, and it and even Capricorn, for good or for ill, all together. Master Moria himself is an example of the Aries-Leo combination. And he says, if you want to remember me, and it's become known as Moria Remembrance Day, remember me on March 24th. Now, we don't know why he says that, but we know that he loves fire so much, and he talks about it all the time. So he is the great ruler on the first ray, and he's identified with the great fire sign Aries. These two, Aries and Leo, characterize him. The Tibetan gave us some interesting horoscopic ideas with respect to certain great masters, with Master Kutumi having Gemini and Pisces, both of them second ray signs. I intuit or think that the Christ has Libra and Pisces. He's certainly the Prince of Peace in Libra, and the Pisces part have to do with the cosmic decanate, with which he is identified as the Savior. I think the Buddha's factors involve the sign Pisces, again, as a saving force, Taurus, with which he is so deeply identified, and Leo, he's called the lion in the Agni Yoga material. When I look at Master DK, well, he is the messenger, definitely Gemini, but he is also the great repository of the light, and I think Taurus is very strong. So usually these masters are characterized by two energies which abide with them over the time, over long periods of time. And, you know, probably there are others, the Comte de Saint-Germain, you know, he had a lot of the Saturnian signs when he was the Count, and he had a lot of the Aquarian signs when he was Francis Bacon. So we don't know how it's all settled out, but he is the head of the third ray ashram now, in a very large, inclusive sense, and I believe, even looking at his pictures, that Libra and Capricorn plus Gemini are very strong. I have reasons for all of this, but some of them are simply ray reasons and physiognomical reasons. You look at the images of these great ones, the ones that look at least reasonably accurate, and they seem to reveal the signs. So Leo has this great power of centralized power. And Leo draws that perimeter which separates this from that. Without Leo, we would not have the individualization that we need Ray 5 back in the early days to produce. In other words, I am different from you. I am, you are, we are different. This is Ray 5 at work. And basically, this is what allows individuality to come to the fore, where you have a distinctness of identity. Distinctness of identity in Leo, and you take up a centralized position. Now, hopefully in time, under Leo, you can become the relinquished point and not stand too much in your field of consciousness, because then it would, blot out the larger picture. Your lower ego would be too prominent. It's like there's something said about the Master Moria. He adds darkness to light, and he blots out the sun, but then the stars appear, meaning that the deep intuitions appear when you get rid of enough of the lower ego so it's not blocking your way. I mean, here's the analogy. Look at the daytime. The sun is shining. Do you see the stars? No, you do not. But when you blot out the light of the sun, even in an eclipse, the stars, the great intuitions, the great perspectives on the cosmos begin to appear. So we cannot let the lower ego become obstructive. We can work with the soul as a leader, as a karmic lord under Leo, but we must not go too far, or we will switch over onto the left-hand path, where we have too much self-admiration, narcissism, all those ugly things which prevent true perspective. So, okay, now when it comes to Capricorn, this is the impression of the patterns of the first ray through law upon matter form. The impressions of the first ray through law upon matter form. And basically, it's considered to be the will which conquers death. Just the way Leo is associated with the will to fulfillment, and Aries with the will to create. And I like to think of Aries as associated with the will to be. Now, DK tells us we don't know too much about the will to be, but basically it's the emergence of the entity and its will to remain as a factor in incarnation until it is withdrawn during the pralaya. So a lot of us are trying to deal with the Leo part, the will to be fulfilled spiritually. The will to fulfillment, it's a second subdivision of the ray. The will to be is the first subdivision of the first ray. And the will that conquers death is the third subdivision of the first ray. Through initiation, we rise out of captivation by matter. And the way we do that is we master those two very material rays which give us matter, the third ray and the seventh ray. Capricorn has a lot to do with the third ray, as we know from the triangle Leo, Pisces, Capricorn, where Capricorn represents humanity. Now, right now, a very hard, obdurate, obstructive expression of the first ray can be found in Capricorn. He talks about Capricorn people, how hard they can be, how obdurate. Some of the worst characters have been there, you know, like you might say, in mythology, Procrustes. Even the word crusty suggests the hardness of Capricorn. There was this Procrustean bed, so the old mythology goes, and if a person was put on that bed and parts of them hung over the bed, then those parts were just cut off. In other words, you were forced to conform in what we would call a totalitarian manner to being uniform just like everybody else. So when a dictator gets a hold of Capricorn, it can be a very negative standardizing effect. But at the same time, it is the gate into life of those who know no death. The gate into life of those who know not death. So it will become more and more important for initiates, and in another 22, 2300 years, we will enter a great age of initiation under Capricorn. And I wouldn't be surprised, since these are called triangles in revolution, that Capricorn would switch to the top of the triangle and govern the initiatory process for so many of the disciples of that period. So we learn how to handle the law, how to handle the will in a very practical, mental, material domain under Capricorn. And whereas the third ray for most people who are not disciples comes through Cancer, it comes through Capricorn for the true disciple. So these are really important signs together. Right now, it appears that Aries is at the top of the triangle, and it's pushing us forward into a new age. There are different ways of doing this. When we look at Aries, we can say something like this: Mars, the Sun, and Uranus. So Mars will rule the ordinary person and a lot of humanity. The Sun will rule sort of the glorification of the higher principles of man, and Uranus will submit that man to fire and burn away the dross. Leo is involved with the burning ground, Aries is involved with the burning ground. I've already dealt with the see what I've listed here so far is just the orthodox planets, but I could be a little more complete if I did this maybe correctly, and let's see if I can do that without making something that's too ugly. Yeah, okay, let's see if this works. Okay, yeah, I would do it this way. So this would be Mars, Sun, Uranus. And when it comes to Leo, we would have Jupiter, Neptune, and Uranus. Again, Uranus, right? And when it comes to Capricorn, our rulers would be, maybe I've got to make all this a little smaller so I don't flood over the edges that are allowed to me. Not the best, but it's something. Okay. And here I would have, and you know what I would have Saturn, and Venus. Okay, so those would be the rulers. And maybe what I'll do is get rid of I'll get rid of these here. So that's a more complete picture. Anyway, the first ray is really emerging now. Why should it be so? Because Shambhala is trying to make a direct impact on humanity. Even as hierarchy is attempting to reach Shambhala, we might say, hey, it's easy for hierarchy to reach Shambhala, but no, it is not easy. And they have plenty of struggles involving the attempt to reach Shambhala. So a lot of people talk, glibly about Shambhala, but even a master cannot walk in the door of Shambhala unless they're on the first ray. One has to be rather a Chohan to enter the door of Shambhala at this time. All right, I think this will help us if I, I'm going to try to make a chart here and show you, or a graph or some kind of a tabulation, and show you how it's all built up. Now, basically, we want to know how every planet works in relation with every sign. Mars is driving ahead, the Sun is exalted in Aries. And sort of rules, well, I think it rules, is really the Sun Mercury. But I'm going to, let's just make it this way. Because then the jungles of illusion are set on fire, and the path stands free. So there's a lot of penetration into the world of ideas, and then very high burning grounds and even resurrection are found with Uranus in relation to Aries. With Leo, there is grandiosity of the lower ego under Jupiter. There is the heart of the sun under Neptune, and there is a connection with the divine will under Uranus. With Saturn, you're under the impression of karma in the first rulership by Saturn. In the second rulership, you climb that mountain of karma and you put your foot upon it. And with Venus, you have a first exposure to the great light supernal. Now, what is the Tibetan doing? He's basically connecting all of these energies into a grand synthesis, which we could know something about. Not all that he knows, but we could know something about the synthesis of constellational ray and planetary energies. Okay, friends, that's all I'm going to discuss right now. And I will, if you have questions about it, see, what we've done right now is basically we've looked at just the first ray, but all of these are rather intricate, if I may say. And therefore, we want to spend sufficient time so you get the idea of all of the associated energies, which DK says is the very basis of the science of triangles and certainly of astrology, because there's a lot more to astrology than just learning the signs and the ordinary planets. You've got to have in your other hand the ray energies associated if you want to deal with the new esoteric astrology. So I will ask Michael here to field any questions that you may have. Let me know what they are, and we can proceed from there. If you have any thoughts or questions you would like to express, we've looked at Leo, its importance, and we've looked at the first ray associated energies. Okay, so
And
over to you.
Michael,
Yeah, Michael.
we do have a question from Frederick.
Okay.
The triangle Leo, Pisces, and Capricorn appears also in the science of triangles, triangle energy.
Yes.
How can we compare this triangle to Aries, Leo, and Capricorn triangle?
Well, basically, Aries, Leo, Capricorn is a ray one triangle with one sub one, one sub two, one sub three. The triangle Leo, Pisces, Capricorn is more distinctly dividing the line of Shambhala, hierarchy, and humanity. It's basically a kind of triangle that reflects the Great Bear, Sirius, and Pleiades. So, in a way, it has huge cosmic implications. And it's not specifically a ray one triangle. It is a one, two, three triangle representing the three great factors that we have to balance on our planet, namely Shambhala, hierarchy, and humanity. In this particular case, with what's in front of us, we're dealing with uniform ray triangles and their sort of sub influences. Also, interestingly enough, that big triangle about which he makes, he really goes to town on that Leo, Pisces, and Capricorn triangle is becoming a little weakened at this time. It was very, very prominent. But basically, that's a one, two, three triangle representing the greatest triangle in our immediate vicinity, which is Shambhala, or rather, excuse me, Great Bear, then Little Bear Sirius, if I can call it that, and then Pleiades. So they have a different scope and they have a different kind of variety to them. I guess that's, what I would say. It is not a ray triangle. The triangle of Leo. You see, everything stays on the first ray with Aries, Leo, Capricorn, but with Leo, Pisces, Capricorn, we emphasize the three different rays and not the uniformity of the first ray sub whatever. We don't emphasize that. We emphasize the triangle of Shambhala, hierarchy, and humanity, particularly. That's the start, anyway. Okay.
And at this point, Frederick says, thank you for the comments, gratitude, and blessings. No one has raised their hands or written any other comments at this point.
Okay. Well, obviously, look, friends, this is its own language. Like he says, the most occult book he has written, because it deals entirely with energies, with the language of energy. And we just have to become aware of the alphabet first, and then with the words that can be made with the alphabet, and then with the sentences that can be made with the words, and then with the paragraphs. That can be made with the sentences. So we have a little work to do, and take out some time for yourself, even if it's just a couple of hours, maybe one day, the next day, the next day, an hour each day, and you'll be surprised. You will be able to memorize and have by heart these zodiacal signs in relation to the rays, in relation to the planets. And then you'll be able to speak the language, and you won't get caught up in the mechanics. See, this is called the science of triangles. It doesn't take us into what you would call the normal triangle work, which is very individual, very personal, very I know you know me. We're spreading goodwill, we're spreading love, we're spreading light. It's what's behind all that, and how these different sources, even great master sources and liberation sources. I mean, look, the three lords of liberation in Shambhala at this time, what are they connected with? Well, they're connected with the triangle of air signs. Okay, the lord of liberty is connected with Aquarius. The lord of equality is connected with Libra. And the Lord of Fraternity, Liberty, Equality, Fraternity, is connected with Gemini. You see, they have their connections with the great, great energies. And probably this is so with the Buddhas of Activity and the other esoteric Kumaras. They have their connection too. And probably it is so with the Manu, the Maha Chohan, and the Bodhisattva, the Christ. And there we would be dealing with what you brought up, Frederick. We'd be dealing with Leo, the Manu. We'd be dealing with Pisces, the Bodhisattva or Christ. And we'd be dealing with Capricorn, the Maha Chohan. So all of our great beings that have been human recently and so forth, and they're still on the planet. They have connections with great cosmic sources. So, and we just have to draw those lines so we know what they are. Now, you know, the last couple of days, we've had some work that we've been doing together with the 2025 initiative. And by the way, we will continue that today. There'll be a kind of a closing ritual for our serious Leo work. And Michael, if you would be so kind as to put that link in, it takes place at 1 o'clock p.m. GMT, a kind of a closing candlelight ritual for the Leo Sirius energy. And we have, you know, been learning how to consider Shambhala, hierarchy and humanity in relation to each other, how to consider the new group of world servers and the externalizing hierarchy and bodhisattva. Everything that is,
Michael,
yes.
yes, take a breath. Okay. I've already put the link in, and Vera's hand is raised. Vera, you are unmuted.
Okay, just one more thing. Yeah, thank you, Michael. Basically, learn how to draw the line between cosmic sources and exalted planetary sources. Learn how to see that connection. Yeah. Okay, Vera, go ahead.
Yeah, hello, Michael. Looking at our race, our individual race, soul, personality, etc., and the time of birth, the horoscope. So my understanding is that when, say, like for initiates, it's more determining the race, more important, or and I call the horoscope like our toolbox for that specific incarnation. But then there are so many people born every day, and we have just 365 days. Now, before we are born, How much attention is paid to you have to be born on 25th of March. So how do they do it to really calculate?
The Solar Angel knows quite a bit. It is a minor lord of karma, and sometimes, you know, you can't get the exact timing that would be absolutely best, but you get an approximation. One of the very important things is, what is the nature of the form built up over a long history upon which these energies are playing? In other words, yes, many, many thousands are born on a particular day, and maybe even millions, but what is the causal body form? What is the heredity form? What is the progress of those people in the great paths of evolution? That will determine how the energies are used. And is it calculated? I believe it is calculated, especially with respect to the sun sign, because as DK says, when you die in a certain sign, you take it up again in the next life, and we don't know if you take it up near the point where you died or just in the same decanate. We don't know that, but he says you take up that energy. And then maybe the most important thing will be the rising sign, which will drive you forward to greater progress if you know how to use it. And is all that calculated by your little karmic lord called a solar angel? I believe it is. But mistakes and accidents and interventions can happen at this time when we are, let's say the doctor wants to finish his round of golf. And so he says, well, let's have a cesarean section now. I want to do my, I want to have a nice day on the golf course. So, you know, that kind of artificial interference can distort maybe what is intended. And you would say, well, certainly can't the solar angel see all that? Well, maybe not entirely. So, so in fact, it is calculated. And I did a little, let's say the sun sign limits it to 30 days, and the moon sign with the sun sign limits it to 2.5 days out of that 30. And during the 2.5 days out of that 30, the rising sign, depending on your latitude and all the rest of it, might just limit the possible time of birth to a few hours. And that's as far as you can go, and the rest of it, as Marcia Moore, a very good astrologer in the old days, as she said, the rest of it you just have to accept and you just use. So yes, calculation does exist, and the solar angel has the power, playing upon the permanent atoms and the personality vehicles, to make it happen, at least within the range of the energies which are supposed to be utilized. That's my impression at this time.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, I can see, you know, in my own case, and maybe other people can see, the justification for the timing of the birth. Somehow you have a deep intuition about your causal nature. Somehow you have a sense of the karma that you have with certain people with whom you are born, and you just feel, okay, this has pretty well hit the mark in terms of making available to me what is needed for my next step forward.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay. Next is Stephen.
Yeah.
And Stephen, you're self-muted.
How's that?
There you go.
Just two comments in relation to the previous lady's question. I was reading Esoteric Healing recently, and I think the Tibetans said that by the age of 21, I think it was, you have recapitulated to your previous consciousness.
Etheric body condition. Etheric body condition, I believe. Something
like
that.
Is that what it was?
Something like that.
Yeah, it was something about the age of 21 was sort of where you got back to. Yeah, etheric body. I have to go back and check it. The second point, I have a friend who is quite an advanced disciple. And this friend knew her previous incarnation. And at one time I was helping this friend research that incarnation, and we discovered to our great astonishment that the previous incarnation ended 10 years to the day that my friend was born. It was that exact. Mm-hmm. And she had thought for many years she was this particular person. She's not someone prone to sort of flights of fancy. But it was a real shock when we discovered how exact the difference was, as if out for 10 years, came back in, literally on the day that, 10 years to the day that she had left to continue. So, you know, make of that what you will, but I thought that was a very interesting point in terms of continuing the spiritual journey. That was all.
Did you, Stephen, did you... what sort of a hypnotic research, psychic research?
We went to India for historical research, and simply found the day that the previous incarnation had ended.
Okay.
It was purely just records. It wasn't anything, you know, spiritual or hypnotic or anything psychic. I mean, she knew for many years who she was.
Well, that's the question. But, that's the question about knowing who you were. Right there, I mean,
she'd had a lot of detail over a number of years, uh-huh. but wasn't aware of the date that her previous incarnation ended.
Yeah.
And we were just doing sort of, you know, thinking, oh, well, we'll see what we can find about it. You know, it wasn't a big glamour trip. We happened to be there, and it was sort of just curiosity. And it was quite an astonishing discovery that the Tibetan's prediction that you... into the life in the sign that you left your previous life was correct, but also that it was to the day.
Yeah, that's pretty
close. Exactly to the day. So,
what I could see is that the decanate might be important, the 10 degree section of a sign, and then a dwadashamsa could be important, namely a 2.5 day period. Basically, when you divide the sine of 30 degrees by 12. So that would get pretty much into the energies of departure, and you'd be taking the thread up again. But as you know, I would say this is very exacting, and I wouldn't necessarily say that in all cases, because we have the karma of the mother and the, you know, we have a lot of other karmic factors going in there, that it would be so exacting as has been the case with your friend. But what we do need to do is to have accurate fifth ray internal Akashic record research. Of course, we don't have that yet, you know. Maybe someone like Leadbeater or Besant, or maybe they could have done that. And then we'll be able to have a wide enough sample, so we'll know whether the kind of thing your friend noticed was the exception, or whether it was pretty much the rule. And sometimes, you know, when you're born in your family, and you find other family members with birthdays pretty near your own. Like, you know, in my particular case, my daughter is just one day different from me. Huh. Then, and my two boys have a rising sign, which is only 2 degrees apart, and they're both Taurus on top of it. So you begin to see that departures from previous incarnations may have been accompanied by others. who end up maybe in the same family, you know, and are taking up the thread together. So, you know, there are many possibilities, but good old fifth ray psychic research has to develop over the next several hundred years, and under Aquarius, I think it could. So it's a very interesting story that you tell there, Stephen, and we need a good size sample, really, one that we can trust.
The one comment I would make is that I don't think that the 10-year duration is the rule, because the Tibetan's very clear, you know, advanced souls come back more rapidly and less advanced souls take much longer. So I think the duration is quite variable, but I think the reappearance in the sign is quite telling.
Yeah, I think that is a reasonable perspective. I mean, maybe the Dalai Lama, if there is going to be another one, you know, he says, I'm the last one, whatever. But, you know, 3 years, and other people, once they've earned the right to sojourn in Devachan, they can take, you know, tens of years. You see, it's not that Devachan is necessarily allowed for all, because it's a place where certain types of faculty are worked up. So, and another thing too, it's not that refusing Devachan is for all, because I think at least the sixth petal has to be opened before you can sojourn in Devachan for any length of time, because it is a definite disadvantage in a way for the sake of service, because the soul work that you might do in Devachan, building up a new faculty for the next life, is foregone. But then the chances of having a mental body and a emotional body pretty much like the one you departed with is greater when you have left behind desire to sojourn in Devachan. So we really need, we need internally accurate fifth ray research in the psychic realm, or the realm of the subtle bodies. And it, obviously it has to come. I mean, someone like DK has that. I mean, you know, it was a peculiar thing. He was speaking to RSU, who was Alice Bailey's main editor, you know. And she was responsible for getting together so many of the books, you know, because they were originally given out as lesson sets, right? So DK said to her, you would be surprised indeed when you compare your present position to your position five lives ago, your condition, you know, position, condition. Mm-hmm. So he could see right into it, and the fact that she had apparently made some pretty significant progress. He could also tell how many lives of accepted discipleship a particular student had had, if any, if they were just beginning their work in accepted discipleship, or whether, as in the case of one person, five lives had gone with the person being an accepted disciple. Sounds like slow progress to me, but, you know, who's to judge? When we basically, he says, the more you know, the less you judge. So, yeah. These are interesting technicalities, and they will be exposed. So, very interesting. Thank you, Stephen.
All the best.
Yeah, you bet. Same to you.
I think Frederick was just clarifying about might be able to differentiate the two triangles by their different energies. And that goes back to Leo, Pisces, Capricorn, versus Aries, Leo, Capricorn.
Well, you see, the greatest triangle that we have, a super constellational triangle in our local vicinity, the one he talks about is Great Bear, Little Bear Sirius, with Sirius as a blind for the Little Bear, and Pleiades. And the zodiacal triangle of Leo, Pisces, Capricorn is definitely connected with that super triangle. When it comes to Aries, Leo, Capricorn here, you can probably maybe find a way to connect them with the super triangle, but that's not what the ray triangle is all about. There's a uniformity in the ray triangle which is not found in the super triangle. Every member of the ray formula of the ray triangle distributes, in this case, the first ray, and that is not the case with the Leo, Pisces, Capricorn work. And by the way, I see I've made a mistake here. And, you know, there's something here about Ray 1 with Capricorn. Obviously, I should have put that in because it's a Ray triangle. But, you know, the main thing is Aries at the time. And then we'll see about the revolution of the triangle as the age of Capricorn comes closer. So a constellation is a really big thing, you know. And if we can have all that variety on our little planet, we can certainly have a variety of expression and function in a great being like a constellational lord and its constellation. Yeah. Okay.
Everyone is pondering. So yeah. No hands, no other questions or comments at this point.
Okay. Ponder on this, huh? Well, let's just close then. And like I say, if all goes well in terms of getting the YouTube transmission going, we'll have our normal YouTube transmission of Triangles Work tonight. And if we haven't been able to do it, we'll try to find a way that you can be informed via Zoom. So then, I don't know if there's a place on Makara where we maybe could put that if it becomes necessary, Michael and Joe. It would be, you know, I'm not sure where that would go. But because we haven't seen the necessity for it just yet, we're going to try in the several hours that we have to fix the transmission from YouTube. But if it doesn't work for a day or two or three or a week, then we're going to have a substitute. Okay, friends. So let's do the great invocation together with the idea that a very great triangle is being shown to us of light and of the source of light and of love and of power. Now, the great invocation can be interpreted on many levels, but this is a big triangle, and then finally a diamond is created. Because the little center we call the race of men is receiving from the triple source of light, love, and power, those combined energies. So, here we go. Great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, thank you for attending, and thank you, Joe and Michael and Tuya, for being on the guiding side. Tomorrow morning we have identification as being, and on Friday morning it's a webinar, and Friday morning the Cosmic Fire webinar. And meanwhile, we'll see what we can do about the normal ask transmission. And I'll try to be in touch with Joe and Michael about that. So lots of love and many blessings from all of us here and the communications team in general. And remember, today at 1 o'clock GMT, we have the closing of our Sirius Leo work. Various spiritual groups around the world will be saying just a little bit about what they do, and we'll have that nice candlelight ceremony signifying the end of the work. And when it comes to tonight's sacred pentagram, if, for instance, we cannot transmit, we will at least record it, and it will be on Makara. So everyone, once in a while, a technical thing happens and it just doesn't, you know, disappear because you wish it away. So many blessings, and let's keep working esoterically for better outer effects. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.